Buenos dias. Good to see you this morning. Thanks for joining us again. This is now a Sunday number six in a row of either Zoom services or live stream service. And we continue with this Zoom technology mainly because it's a great way for us to participate together and to have some sense of community together, even though we are physically so far apart. I want to just have a special thank you this morning to families who join us. I know that three, four, or more people crowded around a screen can be challenging. And sometimes some of us get a little wiggly during a Zoom service. So especially kids, thank you for hanging in there as best you can. We really appreciate it. We love having the whole community together as much as we can. I also want to thank those of you who joined in last week Sunday for our Easter Sunday live stream service with three other churches in Burnaby. In a time when we are disconnected, for me, it was a great opportunity to show togetherness and unity and even a sense of community with other Christian believers in the Burnaby area. So thank you again for joining us. We hope to do that again in the future sometime in some version of a service together with other Christian churches. And I also want to let you know and thank God for a really great congregational care team meeting we had by Zoom on Thursday night. It was great to see each other and talk together and pray together. And as people were sharing, I'm just aware of so many people, some of it done officially, but a lot of it being done organically, who are reaching out to people, reaching out to each other via phone, text, email, WhatsApp, Zoom, sometimes dropping things off at people's houses. So thank you so much for being really the hands and feet and presence of Christ in the lives of each other and maybe your neighbors. I was just talking with our neighbor yesterday. For the last few weeks, all we do is wave. He and his wife jump in their vehicle pretty quickly and zoom off somewhere to save on or something. But yesterday, he stopped and talked, and I felt like he really wanted just someone to talk to. His family is in Italy. He's the only one from his family here in Canada or outside their little small town in Italy. And he was telling me about his uncle who had COVID-19. And just worried for his parents. And just a few minutes of listening to a neighbor kind of pour out his heart and his soul was, I think, hopefully good for him, but also very, very good for me. So this morning, we've just read from Philippians chapter 1. We've been in Philippians the last number of Sundays. I'm actually going to end the sermon series this morning. We're not even done chapter 1 yet, but I'm going to end the sermon series. We're hoping to put the rest of the series online on our website, hopefully, if we can get that figured out. I'm going to do some short devotionals on other verses from Philippians, but I just find this book of the Bible just amazing. I think it's a great book for our present moments. And so I want to invite you, I know it sounds a little bit crazy, some of you are thinking, I could never do that, but I want to invite you Tuesday morning, 8 o'clock, bring your slippers, bring your oatmeal, your muffins, your breakfast, your coffee, your juice. We're going to read through Philippians together, at least I'm hoping to, and maybe at least one or two or three or 10 of you with me. It should take less than half an hour to read through Philippians, but I find it powerful not just to hear little verses, little passages, but to hear the whole book together. So if you want to join me either to read with me or just to listen to it, 8 o'clock Tuesday morning. I think the Zoom information was sent out to you this morning. Judy, thank you so much for doing that. And so if you want to join me, you're welcome to do that. But we're going to hopefully pick up next week these questions I keep hearing. And I have been, Pastor Yo come lately, answering these questions for our church community. Others are answering them. But I want to start, I was trying to answer some questions like, where is God? And what is God doing in this pandemic? And, you know, what is there a message God has for us? And so starting next week, we want to look at some passages together and see if we can have at least some response to some of those questions that we and others have. Now this morning, I want to invite you again, if you have a piece of paper or a pen or a pencil or a marker or a crayon, if you have an iPad or a phone or something to write on, a comment, a question, observation, maybe some kind of rebuttal, maybe a doodle that you're doodling as I'm talking or as others are talking, or a picture you can show us of this verse or this passage or the things I'm going to say in a few moments. We would love to have some time after the message just to debrief and discuss a little bit this verse, this sentence I'm going to look at with you, and also the things I'm just going to share for a few moments. So I'm just going to pick up one sentence from this passage. Now it seems like, Pastor Yo, that is just too simple for us. We need more than one sentence, but I think this sentence is all we need for this morning. It's a sentence full of great theology. It's amazing how much is crammed into one sentence sometimes in the Bible. Not sure if you can see that. I'm going to read it once, and then I'm going to ask us to read it together wherever you are. So this is the first sentence from Philippians 1:27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. If you can, out loud, let's say that verse together, or that sentence together. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So three things from this one sentence. I love the way this verse begins. Whatever happens. So Paul is saying, and we looked at this a few weeks ago, but Paul is saying, and I think some of us are thinking, and I'm encouraging us with this phrase to say, whatever happens, whether I'm alive or whether I die, whether for Paul I'm in prison, some of us might feel in prison in our homes, or I'm free, whether I'm sick or healthy, rich or poor, whatever Christ would bring into my life, whatever the future holds for me, which makes me think a little bit about wedding vows that maybe some of us have spoken to someone else. In some of our wedding vows, we say these just, like when we say them, we never know what we're really saying actually when we get married. But we say something like, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, whatever happens. Wow. Those are big words. That makes me think about a story in the Old Testament. These three guys, these three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Maybe we say the whole story in children's church, but the three friends are told, you got to bow down the statue. The king says so. They don't bow down. The king says, if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into the furnace. They say, God will save us. We're not going to bow down to your statue. God will save us. And then they say, Daniel 3:18, but even if God does not save us, which is really whatever happens, king. And this is a dose of huge realism for all of us. Whatever happens, sometimes God saves and sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he heals and sometimes he doesn't. Whatever happens. The second thing to note about this verse is the last few words. Whatever happens, live a life, and here it is, worthy of the gospel of Christ. Which might sound to, you know, I used to read this verse and think, oh, is all the focus on me? Do I have to live life worthy enough of the gospel? Do I have to live sort of up to the gospel level? Do I have to be good enough, try hard enough? And I would say no, because earlier on in the chapter, Paul has already written in actually verses 4 and 5, he says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So these people, they already have the gospel. They don't have to live up to the gospel. They don't have to try hard enough for the gospel. They are already in the gospel. Or the gospel is already in them. So it's not about me being worthy enough. It's actually about the gospel's worth. The gospel has worth. The gospel has value. So live your life showing how much worth the gospel has. how much worth and value the gospel of Jesus Christ has. And so the emphasis is not so much on me being good enough, but how great the gospel is. You are in the gospel, or the gospel is in you. Now live your life showing others how much the gospel means to you, how rich it is. And the third thing to note about this one sentence is these two words, conduct yourselves. And the Greek word lying behind that is a word, it's polyteomai, which means not simply live, but be a citizen. Live like a citizen of city, country, whatever it is. And our word for city, polis, in the Greek is there. Our words like polity or policy are found here. Basically, live your lives as citizens of, we'll find out in a few moments, the kingdom, citizens of heaven, sharing and showing how valuable the gospel is to you. So later on in Philippians, Paul will remind his readers, you are actually citizens of heaven. You live in the earth, you live in your neighborhoods, your communities, but in your heart, you're citizens of heaven. So what does it mean to live your lives, conduct your lives as citizens of heaven, by the values of heaven, showing how valuable heaven or the gospel or Jesus Christ is to you? And what are these values that heaven is impressing on us? Well, there's lots of values, lots of things that we could show how valuable and worthy the gospel is. Things like justice and love and gentleness and mercy. But the one value I'll pick up this morning is the value of generosity. God is a generous God. Every spring we see that. The creation is just bursting forth. All the generous creation, all the generous things God's made. And God was generous to send his Son. And the Son, Jesus, was generous to give his life. And we watched this video a few moments ago, and Jesus isn't just feeding 50 people, that would be wonderful, or 100 people, or 1,000 people. The Bible tells us he fed 5,000 men. Presumably, there are women and kids there, so we're talking 10, 15,000 people with just a few loaves and a few fish. It shows the generosity of Jesus in his miracles. We also have this theme, and I pick it up again from Philippians, the last chapter, the last few verses, Paul is commending these people, and he says, even when I was in Thessalonica, another city, you sent me aid more than once. So not just once, more than once, very generous of you when I was in need. So this morning, even though it feels like, oh, we should be kind of looking out for ourselves, you know, just taking care of ourselves, maybe just hoarding our resources, I want to encourage us to be generous because the gospel is generous to us, which includes, as we're able to, generous still with our finances and our monies, finding ways. This morning, I wasn't too generous, but I had this moment. I was at Tim Hortons again, believe it or not. There's this guy in Edmonds who for at least 12 years has been asking me for money. I never give him money because some people tell me that's not the good thing to do. But this morning, for some reason, maybe because of the pandemic, I thought, I can give him some money. You know, I can give him $10. I'll be okay. Maybe he won't be. Those little moments for me, you know, it's not like huge amounts of money, but you know, other things that we're trying to do to keep generosity, but also our comments. Or I'm finding especially, you know, to be honest, sometimes living with other people in the home, I need to be generous with my patients. I'm not always so generous with my patients. I need to show more patience or more kindness, or to be generous with my prayers for others. or also to be generous with our remembering of one another. Now, lots of that is happening in our church community, but I want to highlight this morning, I was made aware of it again this past week, people who live alone, people who are all alone in their apartments or their homes, for us to be generous to remember them, to reach out to them, to not forget them, to connect with them in some way. And why? Why still be generous in this time of, for some people, fear, anxiety, and worry? Because Christ has been so generous to us. The kingdom, the gospel, is so generous to us.